This is a very exciting shiur. It means that Rosh Hashanah is coming close, okay? And as we prepare tomorrow night's the babka bake, so that's like we're physically preparing for Rosh Hashanah, we have to spiritually prepare as well by getting ready, getting into the mood, modality of the machzer. And really, on one hand, the machzer is so familiar to us. On the other hand, so far, and there's so many different psukim, so many different piyutim, so many things that are said, so many songs, and evoke so much emotion throughout our year. But it only comes up, really, twice a year, Rosh Hashanah. So it's important and incumbent upon us to prepare and take time. Rosh Hashanah is such an important day. We're days of the year that it's important for us to take time now and to reflect and prepare ourselves properly for tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. So let's begin. I have to be honest, I said 10 meaningful, but there's 12 on here. Okay, I apologize. Okay, I couldn't choose. Some of them are connected, some of them are not. And I wanted to share with you some of the things that I use for davening. I want to share Pathway to Prayer. Anyone ever seen this before? They have one on weekday. This is the one for Yomim Noraim. It's for both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It is excellent. It's transliterated, right? Not translated. Linear in terms of the English to Hebrew with footnotes on the bottom. It really gives you the time and to think and the space really to think about, want to see it? Yeah. About each and every word and every tefillah.
Very non-literal translation as well. It's more meaningful translation.
Right. It actually uses a Rabbi Birnbaum takes the parish of Rav Chaim Friedlander, who was one of the mashkichim in the Panovich Yeshiva. And for the Asham news and for the Al-Chaitz, and makes it very much more practical. It's something very, very, it's great. It's very, very helpful. Yes.
A lot of the translations, word by word by word. It's
very helpful. This I picked up last year, Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein, the son of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein, late Isaac Bernstein, came out with a book called Tshuva. Short pieces, 2 to 3 pages a piece, on every topic from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Elul, and a little bit on Sukkos. You'll see a little bit here today. I have also here, I got this, yes, from my friends from Anshei Lubavitch, Rabbi Bergstein dropped this up on my house. It's HaMa'or Sheba Moadim, just came out. It's Lubavitch Rebbe, who I'm a big fan of, on Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Mitzvah, and Yom Kippur. So I was at a wedding last night and had the opportunity to throw some of the Rebbe's Divrei Torah in here. And there are a lot of different great machzorim out there. There is the classic, classic is the Birnbaum, I would say, but the classic, I would say, for my generation is the Art Scroll. And recently, there are a lot of other machzorim that have been written. There, you have the Rabbi Jonathan Sachs machzor, which is amazing. It's amazing. And the Rav. This is the Masoras HaRav's. It's only on Rosh Hashanah. I think they have one on Yom Kippur. They do also. So it is really, really great. Both are excellent. Anything that Rabbi Sachs writes is amazing. And they took really all the Rav's Torah on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, put it into the Machzer. There was so much, actually, that the first day and the second day have different commentary. So sometimes you get like tons on the first day, and like the second day is like, go back to the first day. No. So for Malchus Shofar Sichronos, which we'll get to, they split it up into 2 days because there's so much and there's so much to say. So let us begin with page 2. The first 2 ideas come from really prepare us for Rosh Hashanah, Big Gadol. And this comes from the Rebbe Sefer HaMa'or Sheba Moedim that I just mentioned here. HaRosh Hashanah Kol El HaKol. Yimei Rosh Hashanah Heim HaYamim HaRishonim Sheba Shana. These are the first days of the year. These are the first days that set the precedent for the rest of the year that we should have a good and sweet year. But we have to ask ourselves, why did Chazal call it Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, instead of saying Tchilas Hashanah, the beginning of the year? Right? That might be a more appropriate Hebrew. Haschalas Hashanah, Tchilas Hashanah, versus Rosh Hashanah. Biar Inyan Muva Bekam of Makomus Bechasidos. He quotes Likutei Torah from the Alter Rebbe. Ki Yamim Elu Einam Rak Haschalas Shal Shana, Ela Harbe Ma'avar Luzeh. It's not just the beginning of the year. Rosh Hashanah is not the beginning of the year, but it really sets the tone for the rest of the year. Yamim Elu Biyachas L'Shar Yamos Hashana Harehem Al Divrei Mashal. So I'll give you an example. Kamo Rosh L'Gabe HaGuf Eivarim. It's like the head versus the body and the limbs. Kamo HaRosh Shebo Klula Matchila VeHelam Chiyos Kol Eivari Guf. The head is created first, and after the head is created, the rest of the body comes after. Harei min harosh nimshechas achiyus l'chol eiver prati. Right, from the head comes the rest of the body and the rest of the life force of an individual. Kach gam yemei Rosh Hashanah kolim b'socham es achiyus shel kol yemei Hashanah. From Rosh Hashanah itself comes life for the rest of the year, meaning it sets the tone for the rest of the year. Shekulam klulim behem mitchilas behelam. It starts here, it sets the tone, and it plants the seeds for the rest of the year. And this leads us into one of my favorite Divrei Torah Rosh Hashanah, is what is missing from the Rosh Hashanah davening. There's a few things that are missing from the Rosh Hashanah davening that maybe you'd expect there. One of them is the mention of chet, and really the focus on tshuva. Rosh Hashanah are the first 2 days of Aseres Yimei Tshuva. The word tshuva appears sparingly, right? Utshuva, utfilo, utzdaka is prominent, but I can, few and far between, maybe one other time, is the word tshuva. It very rarely comes up. But if it's yimei atshuva, how come tshuva is not mentioned? So one of the answers that's given by the Rebbe, I believe that he's mentioning it here, he's addressing it here, and also by Rabbi Akiva Tatz in one of his books, I think Inner Space. They both write the same idea, that Rosh Hashanah is the day that we plant the seeds for the rest of the year. It's called, in davening, Hayom Haras Olam. Today is the what of the world? Birthday. So the truth is, that's an incorrect, I'm talking about translations, that's an incorrect translation. Hayom Leidas Olam, right? Yom Leida. Today is the pregnancy, right? It's the day where conception, it's the day of conception. So at the moment of conception of a fetus, what happens at that moment? All the potential for the entire person is created at that moment. And we know that now. Now that we know all about DNA and genes, we know a lot more than we used to know about that. We know at that moment, we create the potential for the rest of our year. So it's not a day where we're saying slach lanu, right? We're not clapping al chetz. Yom Kippur is a day about Slichel Mechila. It's a day where we're sort of acting out who we want to be the rest of the year. It's Lamashal, like they say when you're going for a job interview. How do you dress for the? How does the janitor dress for the job interview when they want to become a manager? They dress like a manager. So if you want to be somebody different for your upcoming year, you dress that part. You dress that part, you act that part. That's why there's no sleeping on Rosh Hashanah. Halavai should have a sleepy year and I should be well rested, right? But it's not about that, right? It's about setting the tone for the rest of the year. That's Hayom Haras Olam. And that's why it's called Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, and not Chilas Hashanah. The second thought that really is really the Hakdam, an introduction to Rosh Hashanah, comes from beautiful Sfeta Svarim, which are the classics of Chassidus. It's really just a compilation of a lot of different Chassidus Rebbe's. This is the Iturei Torah. It's really, really great. So he writes here a story that Rav Aaron Karliner used to say in the name of the Chidush Arim. A Chassid went to the Chidush Arim on Erev Rosh Hashanah, and he started crying out to him. Shashana cholefes avra alav, the year already passed, and I failed. I had a lot of opportunities, a lot of resolutions, a lot of things I tried to do, and I've done nothing. Amr lo harim, Chidush harim is the first Ger Rebbe. Daf Yomi is coming up. Daf Yomi we only were able to start Daf Yomi because the Ger Chassidim agreed with Rameir Shapiro. They were very big into Gemara, right? They're known, even today, very big into Limud Gemara, and the Ger Rebbe was maskim to the Rameir Shapiro's idea and conception of Daf Yomi. And because of that, many people say, it continued Baruch Hashem. So the Chidush Arim says to him, Re'ebeni, Be'eruhi tshuva amiti me'omek halev. Wow. Right? you're having charata at this moment, the day before, right? Erev Rosh Hashanah. That is so beautiful. It's so deep, right? And he quotes a Gemara. The Gemara says, if somebody says to a woman, Hamekadis Yisha Isha, Al Menat Shani Tzadik, I'd like to marry you on condition that I'm a tzaddik, right? Does it work? Afila Rasha Gamar, even if this person is a despicable Rasha, they are mikudeshes. The marriage, we'll see, the Gemara really says suffik, that they're in doubt whether this kedushin works. Why? Because perhaps at this moment, Shemer hirher b'tshuva b'dato. And he says to this chassid, wow, the hirher tshuva that you have at this moment on Erev Rosh Hashanah is so powerful, so beautiful. And then he turns to this chassid, he says, think about this. Think about every single moment. Because we could be sitting here Rosh Hashanah, right, 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, and saying, I'm done. Let me just forget about this year, right? And let me just focus on next year, right? There's not enough time right now. But he says, think about Erev Rosh Hashanah. We say in our Shemoneh Esrei, Barech Aleinu Es Hashanah Hazos. God, please bless this year. Chiddush HaRim says, there's like 30 minutes left to this year. Right? What's left to this year? And he says, every single moment, right? Chazal should have taken the bracha out. Mevarech Hashanah and bless the years? No. Every single moment is powerful. Even 30 minutes before Rosh Hashanah, Mehara B'tshuva. You could turn a page. You could turn a lane, and we can accomplish so much. So it's 2 weeks before. We could accomplish so much up until Rosh Hashanah to get that running start. It's like, you know, when it's a red light, but you don't like drive fast and stop at the red light, but you slow down and try to make it the running start. So you know, you're competitive with the people next to you. So that's, you want to get the running start. So we start now, and we get that running start. Barech Aleinu Es Hashanah Hazos. That is thought number two from the Chiddush HaRim. Beautiful, beautiful word. Yes.
Even after the fact, you could fix the previous year.
Right.
So it's like Hamam Afreya, Es Kol Hashanah Hafalef Es Kula. You could change the nature of right. the whole previous year by what you do now with your Hirurei Tshuva.
Beautiful. So that's, Tshuva is so unique that we could change time. Right, the Ramban asked this question actually, and he addresses the same notion that tshuva, the greatness about tshuva, is that it could change our averos into mitzvos, right? And that's you know, time machine. We have a time machine in Judaism. It's called tshuva. The third idea comes from, it's a very halachic question, but really gets to the crux of a really great point. So throughout Aseres Yemei Tshuva, we have a bunch of insertions into our regular Shemona Esrei. And in the first bracha of Shemona Esrei, we begin by saying, Zachreinu L'chaim, remember us for life, Melech Chafetz V'chaim, the God who desires life, V'chasveinu B'sefer Chaim, let us, you know, write us in the book of life. So the Gemara in Brachos teaches us that we have set rules for Shemona Esrei. We have the first three and the last three. The first three and the last three are Shevach and Hodah, praising God and thanking God. In the first three and the last three, we can't ask anything from God. The middle, right? The middle are called Bakasha, where you ask, right? You got to butter up, right? The parents, right? Before you ask for something. We have to praise the Kaddish Baruch Hu before we ask. So during the first three brachos, the Gemara says, we're not allowed to ask for anything. So ask Tosfos, why are we allowed to say Zachreinu L'chaim in the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei? Zachreinu L'chaim, we're asking for something. We're not allowed to ask them. So Peirush Rabbeinu Chanano, Rabbeinu Haigo, right? This is from the early, Rabbeinu Hai is one of the Gaonim, Rabbeinu Chanano is one of the Bali Tosfos. Haidathka L'yachid, when the Gemara says that we're not allowed to ask for anything during the first three brachos, that only is when we're asking on an individual level. Right? The change is really the entire bracha. Aval tzorchei tzibor shoalim. When we're saying Zachreinu L'chaim, we're not davening for ourselves. We're davening for Yenim. We're davening for others. We're davening for the community. We're davening for all Chol Yisrael. We're davening for our friends, we're davening for our community members, we're davening for our brothers and sisters in Eretz Israel and in Johannesburg and in Australia. We're davening for every single person. That's Zachrein Elochaim. Otherwise, Rabbeinu Chananel says, it doesn't belong here. It's only the power of the Tzibur. For Tzibur, we could daven in the first three brachos. Lachin Omrin. Zachreinu, Ukrobus, V'Alviyavo. Yalviyavo also it's in the last three. It's not about us. It's about all of us together. Zachreinu, L'chaim. What?
Sim
Shalom too, right? Shalom, it's not about us. It's about Klal Yisrael. Which moves us on to a different idea from the Shu'rei Das. This is Rab Bloch. Rab Bloch from the Telzer Yeshiva. I saw this quoted in Rabbi Bernstein's book, and I looked it up today, Nishirei Das. The beauty of the internet today is that most Sfarim that are quoted in some other book, I could find like that. Osar HaChachma, if you're a YU alumnus, you have free access to, and within moments, yeah, you could find all these. It's amazing. So, Lachain Tiknu, Shebebracha Rishona, Beisidur Shvachav Shalkash Baruch HaZorachaz Deyavos. His why is it specifically that we ask for life in this first bracha? Why now? Why now? And what type of life are we asking for? So Rav Bloch suggests that it's specifically now that we're asking for life because we're supposed to be inspired by the life of the bracha, which name is given for. The bracha is called first... What? Avos. The first bracha is called Avos. So we're supposed to model our life after the Avos, be inspired by them. That's why it's in the first bracha. Zechrein El Chayim, whose life are we living after? Avram and Sarah, Yitzhak and Rivka, Yaakov, Rachav, Aleya, Avos and Imahos. We're going to be inspired by their lives to live our lives of Chesed, Tefillah, Torah for the upcoming year. That's probably why the Kriyas HaTorahs, right, on Rosh Hashanah, are all about Avraham's life. Avram and Sarah, the dynamics of the two of them, Yitzchak, child-rearing, davening for children, it's all about them, it's focused on them, because it's their life, right? Their lives weren't easy. These were not people that had easy lives, right? I don't think, everybody has their own. But the idea is that we're supposed to be inspired by the lives and connections and engagement that they had with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. That should be something that truly inspires us throughout our lives. That is Zachreinu L'Chaim. What's funny, moving on, what's funny about the Machzor, next time we'll ask everybody to bring one, is that you have three paragraphs in Shmon Esrei for Rosh Hashanah, in all of them, that begin with the word Uvechein. Right? Uvechein tein pachtecha, uvechein tein kavod. If you don't remember this, this is why we're here. We're here right now to review and to prepare for Rosh Hashanah. Uvechein tzadikim. So says Yavud Raham. Yavud Raham is one of the Rishonim who has a parish on tefillah. Most of the Ashkenazi minhagen that we have that surround tefillah, a lot of them come from the Sefer Avud Raham. And he writes this. He writes, why uvechein? And therefore. Right? And therefore. Why is that the word? So he says you got to go back to Tanakh. Where do we get that word from? Anyone know? Megillas Esther. What happens? Mordechai tells Esther through a shliach, Achashverosh Haman, they made a deal. All the Jewish people, in just a few months, just 10 months, they're going to be wiped out. So what does she do eventually? Mordechai gives her the pump-up speech. Uvechein avo el ha-melech, asher lo kadas. Uvechein. And therefore, I'm going to go in front of the king, that which I don't know, right, if I'm appointed. And we know what happened there, right? If he did not throw out that his Sharvit Shel Zahav, his rod, then she would be killed. She didn't know. She didn't deserve to go. There was no plan. So on a basic level, the Avud Raham says, this is the feeling and the notion that we're supposed to be feeling on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a time we're making God our king. Ein Melech Beloam. We're making a Kadosh Baruch Hu our king on Rosh Hashanah. I don't deserve it. Who says I can go before the king? I could stand before the king? The audacity that I have? Who am I? Who am I? Esther says the same thing. But I have to do it. I have to do it. I'm going to have the bravado to go before Hashem. Truth is, Avinu Avarachmi is our father too. But Uvechein Avol HaMelech, even if we feel like we don't deserve it, we have that ability to stand before him. Then Rabbi Manuel Bernstein takes this one step further. She takes this one step further. What does she say next? What does anyone know what Esther says next? Then she says, I'll make you a deal, Mordechai. I'm going to do this, but what do you guys need to do for me? Somo alai, right? Somo alai. Fast for me, for Shlosh Yamim, Vani Vina Rosai Atsum Kane, right? You fast for me, then me and my maidens are going to do it also. Now, what's going on here? What's she asking for? And what does she mean, we're going to do it too? So he quotes from Rabbi Zariah Fego. Rabbi Zariah Fego was a great darshan. He wrote a sefer called Bina Le'itim. Bina Le'itim is a well-known drasha sefer out there. And he says, what's pshat here? And he says, he takes this step further. He says, what's going on? She says, I can't just go before the king on my own. I have no backing. I need you guys, right, the Jewish people, to daven for me. And those 3 days were, right, the first two of those days were Pesach. First 3 days of Pesach, that they were fasting. No Seder that year, right? I need you guys to daven. And then what does she say? And then if you guys daven for me, what am I going to do? We're going to daven for you, right? Uvechein avol ha-melech asher lo kadas. And then she says, if we have this deal, only then, with the power of the tzibur backing me up, am I able to go before the king. The yesod is here that on Rosh Hashanah, we are not just davening for ourselves. We have a lot to daven for. We ourselves, our families, our spouses, for our children, our grandchildren, we have a lot to daven for. But we're missing the point if we leave out everybody else. That even our Messiah, Tzum Kain, is a deal here. We're going to take care of each other, hold each other on our own backs, and when we do that, we all have the ability to stand before the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves it when we are all on the same page.
So any time it says of a pain,
does it fit into the words? I'm not sure. In the Uvechein, but it's referencing this whole notion. Every single time, those three paragraphs is stressing this point, according to the Bina Le'itim. Okay, two words. The shofar. There's so much to say about the shofar. Right? There's so much. And it's, what are you focusing on for the shofar? There's so much to say. So I'll share from the Baal Shem Tov. I saw this again in the Lubavitcher Rebbe Sefer. And the other one is an idea from Rav Hirsch from the book called Tshuva. The first comes from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He says like this, quoting the Baal Shem Tov. He says the mashal. Mimelech shehayelo ben yachid. A king had a son, and he v'nasan lo aviv hon rav. He told his son, I want you to go learn the world, right? And he gave him tons of money. And he said, you go out into the world, v'yilmad v'yachim sham, go learn, you know, and go and experience the world. V'yagil l'mayla yaseira yoser mikmo heyoso beveis aviv. If you live just here in our hamlet where I'm the king, okay, so you'll be powerful, you'll be wealthy, but what knowledge, what, you know, what experience are you going to gain? So go out into the world. Vehi barabos hayamim hishtakei haben b'medina rechoka v'chila es kol mamono. Eventually, the son, he did with what his father said, but eventually he ran out of money. He lost connection with his father. There was no direct line. And he was all alone. Batzelo ila belibo lachzor l'medina saviv. And years and years and years went by, and he was just, you know, wandering along. And he realized one day, you know, let me just try to make it back. Can I make it back to the palace? And it was so long that the Rebbe writes that he couldn't even remember the language of the town that he grew up in. He was so stuck in all the other places that he experienced. So what did he do? He got to the gate. He's older. Maybe he has a beard now. They don't recognize him. So what does he do? He starts standing by the gate. And he starts screaming, "Abba, Abba!" It's screaming out in the foreign language. Maybe they'll recognize his voice, the sounds of the voice. And eventually, the father is doing what he's, and he hears that noise. It sounds like, could that be my son? And he comes running and embraces his son at the palace gates. So the Baal Shem Tov says, Nishmos Yisrael Nikra Bani L'makom. Our neshamos, the Jewish people, are considered the children. We're the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'horid HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a neshama beguf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the neshama from on high and puts it in our bodies. And sometimes, some of us may get so stuck and become, travel so far away from the ideals and the dreams of what the neshama is supposed to experience in this world, to the extent that we even lose the language and the sensibilities of where the neshama came from. And how do we get back? How do we get back? So the Baal Shem Tov says that it's through this inner cry, this inner crex, this scream, Abba, Abba, going back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe he won't, we don't look the same, we don't smell the same, we don't speak the same language, but maybe he recognizes that voice. And that's what the shofar represents, right? It's a tefillah without words. It's that scream to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we want to connect to you, we want to relate, we want to engage, and we want a real relationship with you, even though we may have made mistakes along the way, even though we may have strayed, we want that connection with you. That's the idea, a beautiful idea from the Baal Shem Tov. Rav Hirsch says something very different. Rav Hirsch writes here, read inside. Rav Shmuel Hirsch makes a beautiful observation in this regard. The sound of the shofar is produced by blowing air into it. Air is a natural resource that is readily available, and exhaling is something we do naturally hundreds of times a day. Nonetheless, merely exhaling air, however many times, will not produce a sound from the shofar, right? Try to just blow into the shofar, it doesn't do anything. The air needs to be channeled and focused with effort invested on the part of the person. For those that know mindfulness, this is a lot about what mindfulness is. It's concentrated breathing exercises and self-observation into who we are and thinking about ourselves in a certain way. This is what Hirsch is saying about the shofar. This is part of the message of the shofar. It's possible to go through life merely inhaling and exhaling, allowing things to follow their natural course, being passive or at the most mildly reactive. But living in this way will never produce a meaningful sound. When we take the same natural forces, focus and channel them, and invest care and effort in them, inhaling with ambition and exhaling with vigor, we will be able to contribute our sound to Hashem's world. It's focusing and harnessing what we already have and what Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us to do the right thing. That is a beautiful idea from our first, very different way to think about what the shofar is. So we'll take a moment now, and I would say the crescendo of the entire Rosh Hashanah davening is Musaf. And really within the Musaf davening, it's the main part of Musaf davening is called Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofaros, which literally means kingship, Zichronos, remembrances, and Shofaros, the shofar, which all those are very, very vague. And we'll get into what they mean in a moment. But just before we get, I want the structure. We'll go out of order right now. Turn to page 6 for a second. Rabbi Salvechik says it very, very clearly over here. Page 6 on top. So every single one of the Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros is the same way. There's an opening paragraph, right? By Malchios, the opening paragraph is, you remember? It's Aleinu. Aleinu is the opener. Very interesting. Aleinu is something like we are running out of shul already by Aleinu. Let's give it prime. prominent real estate on Rosh Hashanah. Must be something important there, right? Yehoshua wrote Aleinu, right? Aleinu. And Atah Zocher Maase Olam. There's a preface about, you know, intro to the tefillah itself. And then it goes on to the following. We quote 10 psukim. Now, let's read inside. Right? In contrast to the first 9 verses, right? There's 9, we'll see it's 3. 3, 3, 3, and 1. In contrast to the first 9 verses, the first line on the top, however, the final verse is not used as a proof of the veracity of the particular theme per se. Instead, that verse is part of the request that the vision expressed within each theme should ultimately be fulfilled. Okay, so the Rav says like this. There's 3 psukim from Torah, 3 psukim from Ksuvim, and then from Navi. It's out of order. But 3 psukim from Ksuvim don't come from like Eov or Esther. They all come from Tehillim. So it's Torah, really Tehillim, Ksuvim, and then 3 psukim from Navi, and then it goes back to a last pasuk. So that, and all those psukim, for example, you'll see, all have the word melech in Malchios. They all have the word melech in them. The last pasuk, for some of them, may not seem connected to all of them. For example, the last pasuk of Malchios is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So that's the Rav's question that he's coming off of over here is, what's the connection? But it doesn't say the word melech, so it's out. So he writes that Shema Yisrael Shem Lekeinu Shem Echad is the true, that saying that pasuk is the true acceptance of not just of the yoke of heaven, but the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's really a summation of what you want all those psukim to accomplish. It's a final pasuk, and that's really the theme. After we say that last pasuk, then we make a paragraph of a bracha, and then what do? Blow shofar. We blow shofar. So, Malchios Zichrono Shofros, following each one of those, we say, we blow shofar. We make a bracha, and then we blow shofar, 10 blasts at each one. Right? We did 30 before, 30 in the middle, in Shemon Esrei itself, and then we do, this is Ashkenaz and Sephardim do a little bit different, and then we do 40 at the end. Okay, that is the order, and it's important to know the construct, and that's like HaBen Yakirli, all the psukim, a lot of the psukim that we know in songs and we sing, they're all related to one of these themes, and you can ask, it's not random. That's why if you get one of the machzorim, you can't go through all the psukim, like the Rav or Rabbi Sachs, they'll ask questions. Why are we remembering Noach now? I'm sure it's not like, we did a Bar Ilan search, we Googled it, and we said, where does Zachor come up? And, 15 times? Okay, let's like take 10 of them. Throw them on a page. No, it's something. It's deeper than that. Why did Chazal add these? And that's why having one of these machzorim is so helpful to understanding the goal and the theme of what is going on over here. So let's look at it overarching, and then we'll go to Nisan HaTokef afterwards. So go back to page 5. So the first idea about Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros comes from the Maharsha. The Maharsha can be found in the back of every single Gemara. His name was Rav Shlomo Idols. Truth is, that was not his last name. That was the last name of his mother-in-law. His mother-in-law supported him in Torah. So when he wrote his Sefer, he took her last name to give her the kavod forever, right? So I don't know his last name. He took her last name to give her the prominence forever. And he writes the same idea that the Sefer HaYikarim. Sefer HaYikarim was written by Rav Yosef Albo. Rav Yosef Albo wrote a Sefer about the Ikarim, the Ikari Emunah. How many Ikari Emunah are there?
13.
So the Rambam says 13. Truth is, the Rambam never really wrote that. He wrote a Perush Mishnayos in which he delineated that there are 13 of them. Rav Yosef Albo in a Sefer HaYikarim really said there are really 3. And he said, how do you know there are really 3? Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. We learn now from Rosh Hashanah Davening that there are 3 Ikari Emunah, not 13. And it's the same idea really here in the Maharsha. The Maharsha writes, it is clear, this is an English translation, that Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu for us parallel three central principles of Jewish belief. Number one, Malchios is belief in God. God is our king. Melech al kol olam bichvodecha. Number two, Zichronos, the divinity of the Torah, Torah's min Hashemayim. And the third is Schar v'onesh, reward and punishment. Malchios, Shetam lichuni aleichem, it's God making God our king. And all the psukim are about God as reality, v'achduso, and his oneness in this world. Zichronos, remembrances, Shiyala zichronenu letova, that God should remember us for good, bischar tov, right? Shehefech be'onesh, that our reward should be a reward of good and not lo aleinu of ra. And finally, shofros is about Torah is min hashamayim. What is that? How does that mean, Torah is min hashamayim? Shofar, if you look at the psukim about shofar, they're very, very strange. They're either about Har Sinai or about the future shofar that's going to be blown, about the shofar shal Mashiach. So it's about Torah's min Hashemayim, we believe in Mashiach. We believe in Torah from Har Sinai, that Torah, that shofar blast, went on and on and on at Har Sinai. And those are the three fundamental beliefs. Rav Albo really doesn't disagree with any of the 13 that the Rambam says. He really just says all 13 could be boiled down into three. Right? He doesn't disagree about Devuas Moshe Rabbeinu, or Tchias Amesim, or Mashiach. He just says you could boil all of those three, 13, down to three. Rabbi Sachs, in his, I was about to say his Haggadah, but in his Machzer, writes that what are these three represent? He says, Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros represent the past, the present, and the future. Second paragraph, Malchios is the present, where we are right now. Right now, we're in shul. Right now, we're davening. Right now, we're making God our king in our own personal lives. Zichronos is about the memories of the past. And Shofros is about the future. Shofar is always a signal that something is about to come. It's a great word. Shofar is always about something that's about to come. Imminent arrival of a king is always preceded by the shofar. The warning of danger. Parshas Baloscha tells us you blow shofar before war. Or they didn't have, if a hurricane was going to come, they would blow shofar. Something bad is going to come. Or the sound of a trial is about to begin, they blow shofar. I'll add one right now. This is one of my favorite thoughts. I heard this from Moshe Weinberger. I used to go to his slichos every single year. Parents live just a few blocks away, Eish Kodesh in the Five Towns. He said, we say this, I believe it's in Slichos. Hashem is Zocher Es HaNishkachos. God remembers the forgettings. Of course he does. Like, God doesn't forget anything. So what does it mean? Like, what's the Chiddush here? God doesn't forget. He remembers the forgettings. He says, some people, right? Some people, they walk around saying, oh, remember what I did for you? Remember what I did for you 2 years ago on that Monday? It was raining. Remember what I did for you? Oh, I'm such a nice guy. So, but most of us are not like that. Most of us, we forget. We forget all those things. Zocher es hanishkachos, the Kadosh Baruch Hu never forgets. All the things that we just, whatever, it's not a big deal. This chesed, this small thing, this act, this davening. I learned a little bit here. We don't remember what we ate for breakfast this morning, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers. He picks up all those shechos, all those forgettings, and he puts them in his pocket. Comes Rosh Hashanah time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we hold them prominent, and we remind everybody around us, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Zocher them. He's Zocher of the Nishkachos. It's not a big deal. This is what we have to do in our lives, and we continue to do it because we love it.
Only the good things you Zocher?
Yes. The positive. We always say, Zocher Latov. This is, I think, classic Rabbi Soloveitchik over here. Berosh Hashanah Yikasevim. When we hear those words, You know, we shudder. We shudder. It gets us, you know, very focused, very serious. Unisan is okef. Kedushas Hayom. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that the Sifrei Chayim and the Sifrei Mesim are psuchim lefanav, are opened on Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. Now, that's the other thing that's missing on Rosh Hashanah. What's missing on Rosh Hashanah davening? Hallel, right? Hallel is missing on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara asks this question. The Gemara says it's because Sifrei Chayim, B'Sifrei Mesim, Psuchim Lefanav, the book of the living, the book of the dead is opened. V'atem Omrim Shir, we could sing Shir and dance? No way. No way. But now what does that mean that, you know, Rosh Hashanah is a sad day? So the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, doesn't quote the Gemara. He says, we don't say Hallel and Rosh Hashanah because the Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah are days that are not full of Simcha Yisera. They're not, right. It's not full of extreme happiness, but it doesn't mean that it's not a happy day, right? It's a serious day. It's a serious day. It's a day we have to balance those two. We have very big meals, and we enjoy that. The Pesukim in Nechemia say we should enjoy ourselves on Rosh Hashanah. Actually, in Nechemia, it says we should send gift baskets to our friends on Rosh Hashanah, similar, akin to Shalchmanos, right? Ki kvar retz Elokim es ma'asecha. So, what?
Isn't the idea it's not a good day for everyone?
It could be. Could be. But we have to actually, we have to be confident. We're confident. On Yom Kippur, there's the Simcha on Yom Kippur, because the Gemara does, the Mishnah says that Yom Kippur is a day of Simcha, because there's a confidence in the belief that a Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us and is going to take care of us, and that He forgives us. We are sincere, and who the day itself, Itzum Moshe Yom Kippurim, is Mechaper, 100%. So there's a sense of not an overconfidence, but a sense of confidence that we have to approach the day with in a serious manner, in a self-introspective way, 100%. But Rosh Hashanah Yikasevim, so says the Rav, the simple interpretation of this pasuk, of this Gemara, Sifrei Chayim, Sifrei Mesim, is that God judges who will live and who will die. Those who will live out the year are inscribed in the book of the living, and those who will not, lo aleinu, are in the book of the Mason. However, he says, the possibly a different interpretation of Sifrei Chayim and Sifrei Mesim. He writes, all of mankind, including both those who are alive and those who are dead, are judged on this day. The book of the living represents judgment for those who are alive. The book of the Mason, writes in the second box right now, represents a recurring verdict pronounced upon those who have already passed on. The reason for continuing judgment on those who are no longer alive is that the consequences of a person's sins cannot always be immediately determined. For example, right, one who may have raised a child without proper religious education, as a result, it may become worse for the children and the grandchildren. But the converse is true as well, right? That's what we believe. Yom Kippurim, the Medrash says, is mechaper. It's plural. It atones for us, Chayim u Mesim. Right? The Sifrei Mesim is opened because even retroactively, the Mesim could still achieve. They can go down, but they can achieve continuous Aliyos in Shemayim when the Kadosh Baruch Hu sees that their children and their grandchildren are acting, continuing in their ways, or even becoming greater as a result of their midos tovos. And he says, maybe that's what it means, Sifrei Chayim and Sifrei Mesim, that every person, right, in the world here and Olam HaEmes is judged on this day. And it's a question for us to ask, are we living up to the ideals and the messages of what our parents and our grandparents wanted us to live by? Right? That is a challenge. When we read this pasuk, we read these words in Usana Tokef, that should be a call to challenge us if we are doing what mom, dad, grandma,
and going forward.
And going forward.
To our children, what we want them to do and they to do for their children.
100%, yeah. And he says it's never closed. It's a fascinating idea of Rabbi Soloveitchik. Fascinating. Okay. The final idea, final thought. And please bring this home. I made it with table contents. You could take this, you could put this, stick this in your machzor. You can go back to the ideas throughout Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Snacks really just organizes Unasana Tokev very, very carefully and very, very succinctly. No prayer more powerfully defines the image of the days of awe than does Unasana Tokev. It is equivalent in words to one of the great religious paintings by Michelangelo or Rembrandt. The language is simple, the imagery strong, the rhythms insistent, and the drama is intense. It's structured in four movements. I never thought of it this way. It's a great, right? The heavenly court is assembled. Before God sits in the seat of judgment, the angels tremble. Before him is the book of all our deeds. In it, our lives are written, bearing our signature, and we await the verdict. That is the beginning of Unasana Tokev, right? Kedusha Sayom, Kihu No Rav Ayom. Just getting it up over here. That is the beginning. We're going to prepare the seat for you, God, to sit on right now. The second, right? That's the whole first paragraph. Then what do we say? Mi yechya umi yamus. The stakes are defined, right? It's like the bailiff saying, right? You're in court for what? What's going to happen? Who will flourish and who will suffer? Who will be at ease? Beautifully, that like the whole shul at that moment during Unasana Tokev turns into like a court, right? The scene changes. Then comes a great outburst of faith that defines Judaism as a religion of hope. No fate is final, right? Even after the judge writes down what the verdict is, we say, no way, utshuva, utfila, utzedaka. I believe I can overturn that verdict. I could change. Rosh Hashanah, by the way, another word. Shana comes from the word Lishano, to change. It's the beginning of the year of change, right? No fate is final. Repentance, prayer, and charity can avert the evil decree. Life is not a script written by, I don't know who that is, and or Sophocles, in which tragedy is inexorable. God forgives, God pardons, God exercises clemency if we truly repent and pray and give to others. Right? Powerful. And finally, right, as we reflect on the hope and optimism that we have and belief in ourselves that we can change, we reflect back on the fragility of human life and the eternity of God. And you think about, I think it's the In Kitzvah L'Shosecha, and how powerful it is, the melodic tone of In Kitzvah L'Shosecha, and everybody gets into it together. We are no more than a fragment of pottery, a blade of grass, a flower that fades, a shadow, right, Getzel Over, a cloud like a breath of wind. Dust we are, into dust we turn, but God is life forever. By attaching ourselves to Him, we hold infinity in the palm of our hands and eternity in an hour. It's powerful. Powerful. And he goes on to say who wrote it, what the background and the history of Unasana Tokev was, but the four components to it really set it up as the shul takes on a new visage in the background as a court case, and how we ultimately come out that we believe in ourselves. We're going to bet on ourselves, right? Because we believe that we can change, we can become greater, and that brings us back, you know, full circle to the first idea from the Rebbe, Rosh Hashanah. At the beginning, Rosh Hashanah is the head of the entire year. As the head goes, so does the rest of the body. And Bezrat Hashem, give everybody bracha, that we should take this year, take advantage, first of all, Barech Aleinu Shashanah Hazos, the final few weeks of the year, take advantage of the moments that we have, take advantage of the relationships and opportunities that we have during this part of our year. But as we begin the new year, it should be a year, first of all, of health and of simcha, and parnas and atzlacha, but really you should take the days seriously and focus on the yom hatfilah that it is, and think about ways to improve ourselves as we begin the year growing together. Have a great night.